flying gorgeous. Okay. Well, good morning. We're going to go ahead and get started. We already have a prayer request for John. John Wharton has stage 4 cancer, so we're going to pray for him. Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord. And God, we thank you that you are the healer, Lord. And God, we just lift up John Wharton to you, Father. God, we know that cancer is no problem for you, Lord. So we pray, God, that you heal him, raise him up for your glory in Jesus' name. And we pray today, Lord, as we go through the scriptures, Father, we pray for wisdom and understanding, Lord. And God, we pray that you bless our time together, bless the service throughout the Sunday schools from the youth all the way up to the nursery, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're going to be talking about this month on fixing your eyes on Jesus, okay? Fixing your eyes on Jesus, all right? So this morning, I hadn't planned this, but the Holy Spirit dropped something in my heart to just to lay a foundation, first of all. And well, let's see here. Could we get y'all's attention, please? Thank you. Thank you. Got some distraction going on here. Let's be focused. Okay. All right. So I want you to go to Proverbs, first of all. We're just going to kind of lay a foundation this morning. And what we're going to be talking about, for the ones that wasn't here that just got here, we're going to be talking about the month of November. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, okay? There's another translation that says looking unto Jesus, okay? And there's one that says fixing our eyes on Jesus, okay? And if you will go to Proverbs, the 29th chapter and the 18th verse, we're just going to kindly talk this morning and lay a foundation, you know, because many know that he's just not talking about our natural eyes. Okay, but the Hebrew writer is talking about, he's saying, fix our eyes upon him, okay? And we're going to go to that in Hebrews 12 in just a little bit, but we want to lay a foundation. How important is it that you are able to see? In the natural, it's very important. How many more? It's much more valuable in the what? Spirit, okay? Because when Jesus came, and John 3, when he met Nicodemus, okay, you know, when he met him, what was the purpose of Nicodemus going to Jesus?
He wanted to find out how he could be born again.
Okay, okay. He wanted to find out how he could be born again.
He didn't understand the physical part,
right. Okay. Exactly, exactly. But what he really went to Jesus for, he said, I want to know how you're doing what you do here. Remember, he came to him, he said, I know your teacher came from God, but how do you do what you're doing here, okay? And Jesus proceeded to go on, and he said, you must be born again, okay? Well, Stephanie's assured, okay? But notice, someone go to John 3 and read that when he spoke to Nicodemus, he said that unless a man is born again, he cannot what? Okay? That's what he said, second, enter. But first, he said he can't what? See. Okay? See. All right? You got it? Brother Jim, he turning away over here. Okay? But I want you to see this because I just don't want to just give it to you, but I want you to see it, okay? Because a lot of times we say, well, you know, that was him getting Nicodemus to go to heaven, but heaven was never communicated. It was never discussed. Okay? So what Jesus was doing was he was setting the order of how really to see or perceive the kingdom of God. Okay? You got it, Jim? Okay. I'm going to listen to this, okay?
Just the part Jesus said. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, He cannot see the kingdom of God.
Okay, he cannot see. Another translation said he cannot perceive. Okay, and how many know it's very important how we perceive things. Have you ever perceived something before and it wasn't what you perceived it to be? So you got to go back and do what? I need to look at this again, right? So what Jesus is saying is that when you're born again, you're able to perceive the things of the kingdom. Because that was what they were talking about, okay? So in order for us to see, how many know Paul prayed that he didn't pray. A lot of people say he prayed that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, but he said he prayed that the heart. Let's go to Ephesians 2, okay? Ephesians 1. And then we're going to go to Proverbs. Just laying a little foundation here about seeing. I hear pages turning. Okay. Let's look at verse 18. Ephesians 1, verse 18. What does it say? Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your what? Okay. Read carefully. I pray that the eyes of your what? Heart. I pray that the heart. Okay. Notice what he said there. I pray that your heart may be enlightened. That your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of the calling. And that little word know there, what it means is that you will experience the hope of your calling. Not just knowing as head knowledge, knowing, but what do you say? The heart. Okay? How many know the heart speaks of what? The hidden man of the heart, of the Holy Spirit. Okay? All right? Now, let's look at Proverbs. And still, did you go there? Proverbs 29. Just laying a little foundation of what we're talking about is fixing our eyes on Jesus, okay? And how many know when we see Jesus, we become like him, okay? But we won't get ahead of ourselves. We just want to kind of lay a little foundation here, okay? Who has Proverbs 29, verse 18? Okay. You say, well, don't you have it? You're the teacher this morning. Okay, we got a hand back here. Okay. Go ahead, Miss Jenna.
Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained.
Okay.
Happy is he who keeps the law.
Okay. Did y'all hear that? Okay. Do we have another reader? Somebody else had their hand up. Okay, Sister Mary here.
Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction.
Okay, good. Brother Lee.
Where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he.
Okay, notice the word what he used that. The word what? Redemptive what? Revelation. Okay. Why do we need redemptive revelation? See, sometimes we look at the side of Jesus, his human side, the humanity when he walked the earth. But how many know Paul began to teach us what? To have revelation. Okay. When we get the Spirit of God, what the Spirit of God does, he interprets the scripture and we call it what? Revelation or revealed knowledge. See, and that's what Paul was teaching in the third chapter, I believe it is in Corinthians, that he said that when the Spirit, he would teach us, okay? Even Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit is come to you, he will do what? He will lead and guide you into what? All truth, and he will teach you, and he will bring back to your remembrance the things that I've said unto you. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit that does what? Reveal or bring revelation. Redemptive revelation is having revelation of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Okay? Do you really know what redemption means? Bought back. Okay, good. I like that one. Anybody else? Okay? What about at one again? Purchase. Repossess. See, and that's when we begin to dig into that and you begin to look at the words of redemption. Let's see. How can I do this? I'll do it this way. I wrote down some. Let me see. Okay. I wrote down some, and when Lee read that, can you read that again? I mean, all the translations are great, but I like this one a little bit better, okay? Can you? Okay. Okay, now notice what he said, without a vision, and what does seeing have to do with what? Talk to me. Huh? Direction you're going, but what does seeing give to you? Vision. Okay, I mean, you take your eyes away, you don't have no what? Vision, right? Okay. That's right. Okay. So we are talking about vision, but how many know vision is a part of seeing? Where there is no what? Revelation. The people cast off restraints. Okay. In other words, where there is no revealed revelation of who Jesus is, how many know we cast off restraints? You know, we just lollygag along, but how many know that has purpose for life? See, and God don't want us to just exist. He wants us to thrive. Okay? So with that, Revelation, I want you to go to Psalms 19, 7 through 8. Okay? We got that. Without a revelation, we cast off restraints. I mean, how many know we need vision? We need vision, okay? If I was to just go around the room and say, you know, do you have a vision for your life? How many could raise a hand and say yes? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Okay, there we go, popping up. Okay. See, is it important that you have a vision for your life? Yes. You know, sometimes we overshoot things as we're trying to be spiritual. But how many know it's okay to have goals set in life? How many know what goals do for you? It points you it keeps you in the right direction. It's focus. It keeps us focused. It keeps us going. You know, and that's what vision, when we get vision from God, what he's doing is he's giving us some insight of where we're headed, or he's giving us revelation. And that revelation, how many know when you start receiving revelation, you want to know more, okay? But you will never exhaust the knowledge of God. How many know his knowledge is so much deeper that, how many know sometimes we just scratch the surface? But we'll never exhaust him. We need to stay in a teachable attitude. I don't care where you're going. I don't care if you become the bishop. You still need to remain teachable. Why? Because there's always more to learn about God. Amen? So you never outgrow it. Okay, some of you think, well, I've been in this 40 years, and you can't tell me. No, how many know a lot of people have been in it 40 years and still don't have a clue of what's happening, what God is doing. Not to be negative or anything, but we got to stay teachable, okay? Now, I want to give you some things. When I looked at redemption, it's the act of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil. God's plan of redemption is for the world, okay? Now, listen at this definition. The action of regaining or gaining possession. Why does it have to be regained? Exactly. Adam gave it away, but Jesus came, see. And when we look at Jesus, we got to look at what Jesus came to do, okay? He came to do more than just go to the cross, okay? He lived a life before he ever went to the cross. And we need to understand that Jesus handled things just like you and I right here in the human flesh. I mean, you know, he didn't handle things with the God cord with his divinity. He handled things just like a human being would, but he was being led by the Holy Spirit. And that's why when we look at Jesus, we can look and see, how did Jesus do this? You know, we even got a braces now. What would Jesus do? But how many know that's just a brace? We need to get it in a heart, right? What would Jesus do? Okay? But notice what he said here. The redemption, what Lee gave us out of Proverbs, redemption means to regain. See? And what Jesus did, he came to undo everything the devil stole in the garden. And John, he said, for this cause or this purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Okay? What was the works of the devil? Steal, kill, steal, and to destroy. Okay? What else was the works of the devil? Rebellion and disobedience. What else was the works of the devil? Envy and strife, okay? Deception. See, all these things that Jesus came, he came to undo. You know, and when he undid all these things, how many know that he turned around and did what? Redeemed mankind to himself, okay? That's what redemption is all about. And you'll see in redemption, there's a lot of things, as Brother Eric just shared about sanctification. I mean, you know, that's part of our redemption. Justification is part of our redemption. The righteousness of God is part of our redemptions. You know, and all these things, we can go on and on and on. But what we're going to talk about is we need to see these. We need to see. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Why? Because what we look at and what we dwell on, how many know we become? Okay? What we look at, we become. Okay? So when we look at Jesus, what are we looking to become? Like Jesus. And how many know his purpose is that we be conformed to the image of the Son of God? That's the reflection that he wants to be in the earth today. He just don't want us to be churchgoers, but he wants us to be so flavored with his presence that when we walk out of these four doors, it is an attraction. I have to take my time. I don't want to get too excited and get ahead of this, Jim. But there is an attraction because of the glory of God that's on your life. See, people don't just come to us because we, you know, a goody two-shoe or something like that. But when they see the genuineness of the glory of God that's on the lives of us, and I know we pray, well, let the glory come. But I got good news for you. Jesus said, the glory that you've given me, I have given unto them. Oh. So the glory is in you. The Bible said, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's good news right there. I don't know about you, but thank the Lord he's in me. Amen? So what the glory is, it's not just a spooky thing that's got you just jumping and act, you know, doing things, but the glory is his character, his likeness. See, and that's what he's building in us. Every time we go through something, we might fail here and there, but every time we go through something, what God is doing is building his character within us. Okay, so when we begin to see Jesus, we begin to see it's not that bad at all. Why? Because Christ have already went through this. See, when Jesus said, in the world, you will have what? But he didn't stop there, right? He said, do what? Be of good cheer or take courage. So where is the overcomer? He's in you. Roaring like a lion, that's right. He's in you. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the one that prevailed. He's the one that was victorious when he walked this earth. And when we look at him, I mean, you know, we can imitate him and overcome anything that the world throw at us. But if we're not looking at him and we're looking at, I don't know, when I say this, I'm not talking about no Pacific church, but when we just look at, well, it's church, you know. But how many know in reality, the revelation is this: you are the church. Yes, you're the church. Yes.
When
Okay.
Roaring like a lion with the world stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You can tempt when God gets a hold of you, there's this quietness, there's peace. There's an assurance and tend to be more quiet. But when you're called to speak about him, there's that lion.
Yeah, that's the boldness.
You can't really, you know, well, where's your whatever?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I like flavor.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. So what's happening is this. You know, what the lion represents is what? Boldness. Okay? And that's who we are. The Bible said the righteous are as bold as a lion. So how many know we are the righteous? Okay? So did I tell you to go to Psalms? Okay. Do you have it? Okay. Who got it? Read it, somebody. Psalms 19, and we're talking about, catch this right here. I think we just overshot it, but we're going to take a time, build a foundation here. Read yours again, Sister Mary, about in Proverbs 29:18.
Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint.
Okay.
Okay,
heeds wisdom and instructions. Read yours again, Brother Lee. Because I think we got the part where there's no vision, you know, there's no revelation, people put off restraints, but we got to catch the latter end of this, okay?
Okay, so where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish, but he who keeps the law of God.
Wait, right there. He who keeps the law of God. Okay? Now, when we think of the law, we're not speaking of the Mosaic law. How many know the Mosaic law had a lot of what? Rules and blues and don'ts and rituals and offering up calves and all these things. But how many know the perfect law of liberty came through who? Christ. Okay? What is the law of Christ? Okay? Romans 8. Okay, you can jot this down. Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of what? Life. Okay, the law that we're pursuing is the law of life, or the law, the life-giving principle that came through Christ. Remember, Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, the flesh profits nothing, but it is a spirit that does what? Gives life. See, Paul says in Galatians, had there been a law which could have given life, we would not have, Jesus Christ would not have to had come, had to have come, okay? If there was a law that could give life, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. Because the law of Moses brought what? Death, condemnation. But Jesus brought what? Life, peace, and joy. In what? The Holy Spirit. It's in the kingdom. Okay? So when Jesus came and gave his life, how many know the law of life was released? Why? Because it was the law of life that gave us life. See, we were spiritually dead. That's why the law could not revive us. But Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy it, but I came to what? Fulfill it. To fill it up. To do what nobody else could do. I did everything the law required, and guess what? He didn't drop one ounce of that law. He completed it. And when he went to the cross, he said what? It is finished. Other words, the law has no more dominion. That law of death now cannot reign over you. Why? Because I have come to set you free from that law of sin and death. That's good news. So when we see Jesus, I mean, you know, we don't just see him. Now, I don't want to say things to offend you, but I got to say this, you know. It's not to offend, but I want you to see this. It's not just certain seasons, like, well, Christmas, he's in a manger. OK. Okay? I'm not condemning that. He was in a manger. Easter time, he's resurrected. I'm not condemning that. Why? Because he did resurrect it. But how many know it is a personal thing? Every day we have the risen Christ on the inside of us when we see him. Why? Because he said it is finished. We celebrate the seasons, but how many know Jesus wants us to have relationship with him every day? See, when we look at him, he's loosed us from death unto life. Amen? Okay. All right. So when we look at our redemption, we've been regained. We, you know, the scriptures in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we know that. What is that? If any man be what? He is a new creation. You know, there's another translation of that that says this. He is a new species. Whoo! I'm new all on the inside. The old John is dead and the living John is here. Amen. He's redeemed me. Do you not know I had my daddy's genes? I act like him. Eventually, I would have fulfilled some of the stuff he did. But because I'm regened, now I don't have to worry about that. Why? Because the blood of Jesus have already set me free from that curse. Huh? That's right. That's right. Exactly. That's why, you know what happens?
If I'm not moving, he's moving.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to move. Exactly. You said, why do we do this? Because, see, we keep gazing at the wrong thing. See, he said, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Amen? And you're going to see all these things. I'm not saying that I know it all, but I'm just sharing the little bit that I've learned. That when you look at him, it makes the difference. Because you're going to see sanctification. You're going to see justification. You're going to see righteousness. See, sometimes we're more sin conscious than we are righteous conscious. So it hinders us. The enemy don't even have to do anything. It's our thinking. Proverbs says, as a man thinketh, what? So is he. See, so we got to get our thinking, what? In alignment with what Jesus have already accomplished for us. Okay. So, and we're talking about the law. And what you got to understand about the law, how many know the Mosaic law brought condemnation? But when Jesus came, he brought what? Life and peace. He brought grace. See, he brought that unmerited favor. He bought that endowment. He bought the power to give you to do the things that you can't do on your own. See, grace and truth came through Christ. Okay? All right. Did we go to Psalms yet? Anybody got Psalms yet? We're talking about the law, okay? I get carried away. I'm sorry. Psalms. Okay, you got it? Somebody said they had it. Psalms 19. 19:7. Okay? Not 1970 now. Okay? I got to watch. Sometimes I say things. Did I say that? Yeah, you said 1970. Okay. All right. Got it? Okay, listen at the word. Get this and get it in your spirit, okay? Listen what he's saying here. Okay, go ahead, Brother Jim. Oh, right there. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. And how many know that's where the problem lies? Not in the spirit, but in the soul. But the law is able to restore the soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions. Okay? Go ahead. Go ahead. Verse 8.
The precepts of the Lord are right.
The precepts of the Lord is what? right. Have you ever thought about the precepts of the Lord? Do you know what the precepts of the Lord really are? Huh? The commandments? No, the precepts of the Lord is this. The precept is the original idea of a thing. Pre means what? Before. Okay? So guess who knew you before? So when we delight in the precepts, what we're delighting is what God had preordained for us to be from the foundation of the world. We're just beginning to accept it and enjoy it. That's what he said. The precepts of the Lord does what?
Are right.
Rejoicing the heart. How many of you guys, when you think about what Jesus has did for you and you begin to see why he created you, what does it do for you? Woo! It kind of put a tiger in your tank. Uh-huh. Yeah. See, the precepts, they are right. I mean, you know, we've been wrong about ourselves. The sister was saying, you know, I'm no good. I'm just, you know, I'm not even worthy of this. I mean, you know, he made us worthy. I know, well, you know, my family, you know, ain't nobody ever really did this before. But you're in the family of God. Okay? Yeah, we go through things. We experience things. But guess what? We get to experience God in it. Okay? That's what makes it so great and grand that we can experience God in our stuff. See? And what God is saying, I want to show you who you really are. See, don't let your past identify you. How many know your past can't identify you for who you really are? Your past experiences, things that happen to you, but your true identity is in Christ. So I can't let my future, my past dictate my future. Why? Because my future is in God. But I got to look to him. I got to see him. Why? Because he's the one that did this for me. So his precepts are right and rejoices the heart. So what are we saying here? We're just laying a foundation of when we got to see him, when we behold him, we become like him. Amen. That's right. That's his aim. Okay? Let me give you another. Let's look at Proverbs. I think we read this one, but let's look at Psalms 19. Psalms 119. Oh, okay. Psalms 119 and verse 130. Because Psalms 119 is a big psalm, right? Okay. But look at 130. Psalms 119, verse 130. Saying, man, you sure doing out a lot of scriptures. How many know we're learning line upon line, precept upon precept? Here a little, there a little. But we're going to grow up. We're developing in this. See, and when you start reading this and meditating on this, how many know it begins to blow up and bring revelation? Okay? We just don't want the dead letter. How many know the letter killeth, but the spirit that gives life? Okay. All right. You got it? Okay. Who got it? Read. Okay, sister over here. Oh, wait a minute. The entry and the unfolding of what? His word does what? Gives light.
Unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension
Oh, man. And I need that. I don't know about you. I'm one of the simple ones. I need it. But the entry of his word gives light. What did Jesus say when he came into the world? He said, I am the light of the world. Okay? And then in turn, after he had walked and lived a life, the light, how many know that he turned and said, now you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Okay? So, what we're seeing here, let me read this to you. Without the vision, we are left to wander in the dark. Without a vision, we are left to wander in the dark. Right? Down the path that utterly leads to destruction. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But they that keep the law, happy is he. Okay? The entry of his word gives light. So what are we saying here? How many know Jesus said, the light of the body is what? The eye. And when the eye is full of light, guess what else is full of? Your body is full of light. And guess what he said? That when your eye is singled, it's full of light. In other words, you're focused on that one thing. And how many know it's Jesus? Okay? But he has such a variety about himself. You know, you just can't pick, Jesus is good. Yeah, he's good, but guess what? He's merciful. Yeah, he's merciful. Yeah, but guess what? He's loving. Yeah, he's loving. Yeah, but he's kind, you know. You just can't get around him. I mean, he's just so big and so vast to where whatever we need, guess what? He's got it. See? And that's what it's going to take. We got to see him for who he is, not who we made him out to be. Because some of us have made, sometimes people make Jesus out to be a mean guy. You know, he's not loving. Look what he let happen to you. You know, he's not, look what happened. You know, but how many know things are going to happen? Why? Because we live in a corrupt world. And things are going to happen. That's what Jesus said. He said, in the world you will experience tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, but what we got to understand sometimes about tribulation takes longer sometimes. Why? Because tribulation is a long period of things. But a trial is over in a little bit. When you're on trial and you go to court, guess what happens? When that court is done and you free, guess what? That's over. But tribulation, you keep walking in it. Why? Because you're developing. See, Joseph went through tribulation 13 years. But he kept doing what? Looking to God. See, and this is what we need to catch as a church. The Hebrew culture is this, that they just didn't serve God because of what he did. But some of them did. But what they really had was they had an encounter and an experience with God that whatever they went through, he was greater than anything they would face. This is why Daniel was so persuaded. Why? Because Daniel said, look, when they came to him and they wanted Daniel to partake of the king's meat and drink, and Daniel, he said, no, I don't want to do that. And the guy said, now, look, you got to do this because if they see that you're poor and skinny and ruddy, you know, they're going to kill me. So Daniel said, I tell you what, let us eat just vegetables, but not the king's meat. See, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would what? Not defile himself with the king's meat or his drink. So what did Daniel do? Daniel knew his God. And he said, look, the God that we serve is greater than any of these gods that you all have set up to be a god. Amen? So what happened is this. They had encountered God. They had experienced God. And this is what God is saying to us, this, I just don't want you to know about me, but I want you to experience me. And how are we going to experience him? When we go through stuff, we keep our eyes on him. We keep trusting him. We keep believing him. We keep loving on him. We keep praying to him. Why? Because we know it's just a matter of time. Guess what? I'm coming out of this. I'm coming out of it. Why? Because trials are and tribulation, they are temporal. But guess what? God is eternal. You can't wear him out. He's eternal. And guess what? He's given us eternal life. This is eternal life, that we may know the true and living God. Oh, guess you. Come on in. Phew. I'm getting warmed up now. Come on in.
We're going to come out of this tribulation mature because yes.
We're going to be just like him. And you know what the enemy is going to do like he did him? He's going to say, now, if you are a daughter of God, and you're going to say, hey, it ain't no if, I am. Why? Because I'm beholding Jesus. See, and we got to get to the place to where we see him as the finished work of God. What is the finish? He said, it is finished. It's never to be repeated again. I have kicked the devil, and now he's just a voice going around seeking whom he may devour. I took care of him for you. I disarmed him. But that's what Jesus did. See, when we look at Jesus, guess what? We reflect. See, there's a reflection that he wants us to get. See, when we behold him, we become like him. But see, you can't behold him if you're looking for the fairy tale Jesus. We're looking at the resurrection, the resurrected Christ. Amen? All right. Let me bring it in. So that's what we're going to be talking about, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And I just wanted to lay a little foundation this morning because why? The light and the vision that we need to have is on him. See, we got to get to the place where we want people to be like us. We want them to be like Christ. See, the Bible said the Holy Spirit, when he's come, he will glorify Christ. Amen. And that's what we want to glorify who? Christ. Amen. And guess what he want to do? He want to be glorified through us. Amen. All right. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, Lord. And we pray, God, that you will seal this word, God, and cause it to bear fruit that you designed it to. And Lord, as we continue the journey on as seeing Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus, we pray for revelation. We pray, God, for the worship this morning. God, let your presence be manifested. And God, the spoken word, we just pray that the anointing, God, will be poured out. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.